Welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is episode number 556. I'm Corey Nganamort, filling in for Storm Paglia. Along with me is the ever great and fan favorite Matt Vespa. What's going on, Vespa?
Hola. It's a beautiful Thursday. I wish it was Friday, but it's a tremendous Thursday. Celebrating 100 years of normalcy and policy wins and not having Kamala Harris in the White House.
Not 100 years. I would correct you there.
100 days. Did I say 100 years?
100 years, you know, it's been a good 100 years, I'd say, but there's been some ups and downs, and certainly the last 4 years.
Maybe
previously.
It should be 1,000 years. Yeah. sorry. No, too much.
America hasn't existed that long, but yeah.
I'm sure will.
It would have been great if it did. Would have been fantastic. But yeah, fun stories coming out this week.
I can't believe I said 100 days. 100 days. Sorry, folks.
See, and we kept it in the podcast.
Yes.
We don't cut anything.
No, we don't. Yeah, we're not CBS News. We're not going to cut things.
Well, for the first time in 100 years, Big Mike, aka Michelle Obama, she came out as transgender this week. Did you hear this audio
yet?
Yeah,
she came out. He came out swinging. So.
Confirmed. Michelle Obama is a man.
I wanted to talk, Marlon, a bit about, you know, just so proud of how you are being a role model for dealing with a child that's transgender.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that warms my heart, particularly as a Black man.
What did she just say?
Say again?
Particularly as a Black man. People would say this is allegedly taken out of context because she's speaking to a Black man who she's having this conversation with. But I'm pretty sure I heard that she's a Black man.
Yeah, I mean, there are some... she's coming down the stairs of the airplane. There's some stuff down below. And it's, you know, it's like... She's like, I don't know if she really liked the grapes that were served on the in-flight service and she was smuggling them, but there's plums. And I don't know what... There's no way.
There's something going
there's
on there.
There's something going on down there with Big Mike.
So, yeah, obviously the big takeaway everyone's running with, as we are too, because it's fun, is that Michelle Obama is a trans man. But what's lost in this whole conversation is that Big Mike actually endorses the neutering and whatever, transing children. She came out as endorsing this idea. We all knew that she did, but for her to say this out loud in the podcast again, that's just a reminder of how deranged the left is. She believes that this is good.
Yeah.
There's a really funny video edit on on Twitter. This is the unedited version of what it actually sounded like. Then they had to go back and make her sound feminine. But this is what it actually sounded like.
You are being a role model for dealing with a child that's transgender. And that's, you know, that warms my heart, particularly as a Black man.
I could watch that video over and over and over again. So there we go. Big Mike coming out. We all knew it, but it's finally confirmed. Allegedly.
That's for the lawyers.
It's for the lawyers out there.
But she's a dude.
Well,
I mean, Joan Rivers knew.
She knew.
And the Obamas killed her for it, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And perhaps their chef in Martha's Vineyard knew, allegedly, which is why he had that paddleboarding accent or whatever the f***. And he was found dead floating with the fishes off the beach off their house.
Yeah, we never really got to the bottom.
Nobody
seemed to be.
And the guy knew how to swim, so I don't know what the hell's going on there. They're just people seem to die around the Obamas and the Clintons, apparently.
Did you see that really weird cryptic message, by the way, that James O'Keefe put out yesterday on Twitter?
No, I missed it. What
he said it was, let me pull this up really quick. He said he's about to embark on a mission and he wants people to pray for him. Here's the audio. I watched this. I'm like, okay, I don't know if he's just like searching for attention.
Yeah.
But you brought up the Clintons and Hillary, and this is my first instinct. Maybe he's going to do some actual investigating.
I'm going.
He's sitting on a stool out on some front porch. He's like leaned over, real serious.
I'm going dark. I'm not suicidal. Pray for me. This one scares me, guys.
and then he walks off set. So maybe he's going to be doing some investigating into Hillary Clinton somewhere that nobody wants to go.
Is there a fundraising link in that
video? There should be. there should be. So pray for him, whatever he's about to embark on. Hopefully he's not just hyping us up and delivering nothing. But he has a way of getting to the bottom of things. We talked about Big Mike already. Speaking of other crazy leftists who happen to be African American, Kamala Harris, she made her big debut after losing in dramatic fashion. I say dramatic in a landslide. She did her big public reemergence from her alcoholic slumber. People were really excited. Harry Sisson tweeted, "I can't wait to watch Kamala Harris demolish Trump and his entire administration in her speech tonight." What did that speech sound like? Well, you tell me whether this is demolishing Trump.
In fact, please allow me, friends, to digress for a moment. Okay. It's kind of dark in here, but I'm asking a show of hands. Who saw that video from a couple of weeks ago? The one of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo during the earthquake? Google it if you've not seen it. So that scene has been on my mind. Everybody's asking me what you've been thinking about these days. Well,
Vespa, do you miss her?
No, and this is just, again, this is why the woman cannot go off script, because you get you get whatever the f*** that is about elephants, and it's just like, it's been on my mind, and she's so, since she got, you know, taken to Pound Town on election day, she's been, you know, Googling elephant videos and the earthquakes. I just, you know, it's funny, because CNN had a poll today, who would fare better as president right now? And Donald Trump still beat her.
Yeah, he still won.
He still beat her. So it's basically a carbon copy of the 2024 result. It shows that, A, Trump supporters are not regretting their vote or abandoning the president, despite this supposed market volatility, even though the Dow Jones has remained under 40,000 volume. B, people still think that Kamala Harris sucks, even despite the full court press that the media and the Dems have been doing, all the psyops about how there's chaos and
people regretting their Trump vote. Like, it's just not the case.
Yeah, so two narratives literally got obliterated by CNN, which I think is kind of funny.
It's always great when Harry Anton comes on stage. Yeah. If you look at the numbers, Trump is still doing well among all voters. And oh my goodness, look at this.
I'll get two words. Holy Toledo.
So Kamala gave us another reminder of why she will never be president and why she was the horrible candidate. And if I was, you know, Republicans, which we are, I'd say, please, we encourage you to get out more in public. Do your thing. And I think the more she's out in public, I think she's actually ruining her chances from even running for a governor of California, because I think the American people are done with her. You know, she lost. Yeah. Go live your whatever happy / maybe abusive life with Doug.
That's not a shoo-in either, because Democrats in that state have that stink of the wildfires on them.
Yeah,
like, you know, like they let the county burn. It was just, it's a disaster. Now, you know, basically, I think Gavin Newsom's presidential aspirations have been kind of singed. I don't know. I did say burned to ash a few months ago.
Too soon.
Too soon, but also I forgot that this is the Democratic Party, and it's California, and they easily forget. Yeah. So
it would be a heavy lift. It would be a heavy lift. I love that Steve Hilton threw himself into the ring. He's running for Republican out there in California. The voter registration numbers keep coming back better and better for Republicans. All right. Some were just released today. So we'll see. I think that's a pretty heavy lift for California. But for example, let's go run through some of these numbers quick.
Yeah, it's good.
Michael Prusiner, he's a great guy. He does he reports for Decision Desk HQ. Some of the numbers: Oklahoma, Republicans gained 5,200 voters, Democrats minus 171. Rhode Island, Democrats lost 1,200, Republicans lost 23. Florida, Republicans lost only, 30,000 less than Democrats lost. So the numbers are really good. And one state that's I'm always keeping a track on is New Jersey, because that seems to be going more red, red, red. Maybe that's potentially the next Pennsylvania, where it could eventually turn purple and flip. This last month, Republicans gained 2,317 voters compared to Democrats, who only added 500.
Oh, right.
So the numbers keep getting better and better for Republicans. We'll see where it goes. The more Democrats come out in public, the better they seem to do. For another example, Kamala last night was her failed running mate, Tim Walz. Remember the guy who waves with both hands?
Happy hands.
He was put on the ballot, picked as her running mate because he could, quote, code talk to white guys watching football, fixing their truck. I can put them at ease. That's actually... Let's just play the audio and react.
Improve people's lives. But I also was on the ticket, quite honestly, you know, because I could code talk to white guys watching football, fixing their truck, doing that I could put them at ease. I was the permission structure to say, look, you can do this and vote for this. And you look across those swing states, with the exception of Minnesota, we didn't get enough of those votes.
But you could be giving.
I was wondering how he was going to land that. He didn't land the plane. You're right. I was that guy, and that's why I lost, in other words.
Yeah.
The code talking to white guys watching football, this is a guy who couldn't load a shotgun. It was so forced.
Yeah, if that's what. If Democrats think that is the bridge to that voter bloc, They're in serious trouble.
Yeah, they haven't learned. Apparently, yeah, they haven't learned.
Because they're still doubling down like a big like we discussed before, like on the trans stuff, like, you know, wanting to chop up the kids.
One guy who thinks he has a way of actually defeating Republicans is that new DNC vice chair David Hogg, the little James Carville called him a week ago, the contemptible little twerp. This is a guy who wants to primary many Democrats up to the tunes of $20 million dumping into Democrat primary races. And it's not because he wants Democrats to become more middle of the road in the average American voter. He wants them to go further left. He wants them to be more like AOC or Jasmine Crockett or any of these crazy left-wing lunatics. So David Hogg appeared with James Carville on a podcast last night, and they had some words for each other, and it was actually good. They aired it all out. He was on the podcast Tara Palmieri show. And have you heard this audio yet?
No, Mike? I haven't.
Here's how this went. They're going head to head. Here's James Carville and David Hogg.
And you said that members of the DNC should sue him for doing this, since David is a member of the party leadership. He is the vice chairman.
I think he's the vice chair.
Let
me be very specific. I think it is abominable that an official of a political party who is being paid or supported by that political party to go out and raise money to defeat members of the same party. I think that's a jackassery of the highest level.
James, can you tell me
if you want to beat Republicans, of which, of course, lefties never do, they never even run against them, that's one thing. I'm not into beating Democrats. I'm into beating Republicans. And I just will tell you right to your face, I think it's abominable that you have anything to do with the DNC and you're going to go and raise $20 million to beat other Democrats.
So that was James Carville with a reasonable point, speaking right to David Hogg. It was a split screen and they're going at it. And Hogg's like, well, what's your plan to actually improve Democrats' approval ratings, which are now, I think, around 25%. And then James Carville goes even further. David Hogg, I was the one calling for Joe Biden to drop out of the race in 2022. Where were you?
I called on Joe Biden to drop out of the race in 2022. Where were you? Where was the young, cool generation coming? Did they step in there and say something? I spoke out against the horrific language of identity politics. Where was everybody else? I said we should have a contested convention. No one else came together, other than President Obama, who was trying to call people on a day that President Biden dropped out. So if I'm just saying, I want to beat Republicans. I don't want to beat Democrats. That's my life mission.
Pretty reasonable.
Yeah, pretty reasonable. But then, two days from now, he's probably going to go on how, you know, Trump has syphilis or something.
Completely distracted from the rails.
But, yes, I mean, it's just, I don't understand. You know what?
It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I'm enjoying the Civil War. I'm enjoying the disarray. I'm enjoying them eating each other.
let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
So they went after it, and David Hogg, you didn't hear too much in that audio, but he just kept saying, well, what are we going to do about the approval rating? And he thinks the answer is to go further to the left. They didn't really settle anything. They just fought back and forth. But then about an hour after the podcast ended, James Carville took to X, and he tweeted, I just called David Hogg. He reminded me of the story of, after the Battle of Shiloh, Henry Halleck urged President Lincoln to fire Ulysses Grant. Lincoln said, I can't fire him. This man fights. David Hogg fights. The DNC needs him.
Oh my God.
So some complete reversal.
Does James Carville have like a pee tape or something? Like, seriously?
How else do you explain
That's ridiculous.
I mean, unless the rest of the DNC were calling James Carville, hey, this guy's not going to be replaced. We're stuck with him.
Yeah.
You better make amends and play nice with each other. Why would he go so far out of his limb to take everything he's been saying literally for weeks negative about David Hogg and say the DNC needs him because David Hogg fights? It doesn't make too much sense to me unless you said there's some kind of pee tape. I don't know. So allegedly there's a pee tape out there.
Just kidding.
Democrats are having a normal one today too. This has been a very Democrat focused show today because they just keep providing us more content. Remember when Chris Van Hollen and Maxwell Frost and a whole bunch of congressmen go down to El Salvador to visit the MS-13 wife beating and
At Club Med with margaritas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And apparently staying at some of the nicest resorts. I don't know what resorts look like in El Salvador, but apparently they were staying in some of the nicest hotel accommodations. Wonder who's paying for that. But it was like a strategy for Democrats they thought it was a winning issue to fight for MS-13 coming back to the country. Apparently behind the scenes, Hakeem Jeffries is telling Democrats not to visit El Salvador anymore. Yeah. Did you see that? They're like, yeah, this is actually not a winning issue for us.
Yeah. And then he did a non-denial.
Yeah.
And now it's now because, and for good, I mean, listen, for good reason, because as much as we hate, as much as we want them to all go down there and hobnob with this piece of guy, more and more evidence about this gang affiliation and the fact that he's a wife beater are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Ilhan Omar was asked about that today by a reporter on Capitol Hill. He asked a very polite and simple question.
Yeah.
Should more Democrats go to El Salvador to visit this thug? And this is how she responded. You know how they talk about Donald Trump really raises the temperature and we need to lower the temperature and Donald Trump's, you know, responsible for all of it? Well, think about that when you listen to Ilhan Omar responding to a very polite question here.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Rodrigo Garcia?
I'm sorry, what?
Congresswoman?
Off.
Who should?
You.
Why me?
We're not taking any questions right now, but here you go.
Thanks.
Well, listen, I apparently she was in a rush to go f*** her brother again. But.
Sorry, I'm busy, gotta go.
Man, the brother f***er had to scurry away like a scared wombat. But, it's par for the course for her. She's nuts. Of course she probably would have stayed down there.
Well, I mean, she probably supports MS-13. She's a terrorist sympathizer herself. So, cartel gangs, she's probably for them.
Ms. Some people did something to describe the 9/11 attacks. Yeah. So
she's getting absolutely buried on Twitter. Everyone's in her replies saying how disrespectful she was and whatever. She's doubled down on this video. She quote tweeted Libs of TikTok, who posted this video, and she said, quote, I said what I said. You and all your miserable trolls can f*** off.
Hmm.
The f*** wasn't actually spelled out. It had a little asterisk there, but F asterisk CK off. That way she doesn't get suppressed on X and more people can see it.
Yeah.
So completely unhinged. She doesn't care. Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
I know. Chill. She can do whatever she wants because she's from a district that's like terrorists. So
they
like that type of stuff.
They're gonna vote her in again. 60% of the vote doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter.
But so Democrats are having a hard time. Meanwhile, Republicans are having a pretty good time of it lately.
Yeah.
A lot of wins. We're just celebrating the 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. That happened on Wednesday this week. He had a great rally in Michigan. It was quite entertaining, if I do say so myself.
Was.
So far, what do you think, Vesper? What's his greatest accomplishment in the first 100 days?
There's a lot, you know. And the president did mention this when he was beating ABC News' Terry Moran like Sugar Ray Leonard. I would say first and foremost, getting the border under secure.
Yeah.
Security. Excuse me. Yeah. Border crossings are down. I think it's like basically zero at this point. We're sending these people back. Sure, we're duking it out with rogue judges and these unlawful injunctions, but they're going back. These people are going back. Abrigo Garcia, who we talked about, and Elsa, he's not coming back. So the border wall has resumed. ICE, I think the U.S. Federal Marshal Service, and a whole host of federal agencies now have deportation powers. So there's the deportation force. IRS is now sharing illegal alien taxpayer information with ICE as well. So mm-hmm. There's nowhere to go. It had to be done.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Had to be done. I mean, frankly, his first presidency, Paul Ryan kind of screwed him over in the omnibus regarding the border wall funding.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the whole, don't veto the omnibus, I'll promise, I'll get you the funding later, and then he decided to retire. Yeah.
And remember Democrats were complaining because the wall was going to cost $6 billion.
Yeah.
We send that about every other day to Ukraine.
Ukraine.
$6 billion, oh my God, it's a crisis. We can't afford that.
And they talk about, it's $80 billion every year to deport illegal aliens. Is that worth it? It's like, yeah, it's a national security priority.
What's the price for security?
You imported all these child rapists, drug dealers, murderers, and terrorists. They got to go back. I will also say Doge, the work that Doge has been doing. We actually have an extensive audit that exposed all the wasteful spending and corruption, all of the port projects that the political elite was using to funnel cash to their friends and enrich themselves. No more of this COVID mask and vaccine mandates. No more kids in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 trillion in investments, I believe. Is it 1.5 trillion?
It's
over a trillion in new investment in the United States.
Yeah.
We seized a whole bunch of Hamas cryptocurrency accounts.
Yeah.
Hamas can't even pay their fighters right now.
Yeah. No, it's big time.
I mean, manufacturing, we're getting manufacturing back here. The tariffs, we're trying to re-import those jobs. I mean, we're getting people like Sean Fain, who is the Auto Workers Union president, who was not a Trump guy, saying, I like this. And all these car companies could overnight, bring their production capacities here in the United States. And also we have a president who can actually, is competent. And is sharp and engaging.
I mean, that's the biggest.
And is engaging.
It's quite an accomplishment on its own.
I mean, he's not drooling into a soup and half dead like Joe Biden. I mean, there's law and order. There's enhanced public safety. And manufacturing is starting to get rebuilt. We're trying to get the whole system regarding how America is treated abroad retooled. Strength is retooled. Everyone is behaving themselves, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get this budget reconciliation package passed.
Yeah, that's what
we have to get the Trump tax cuts extended.
That's the next 100 days. That's what Donald Trump says is his biggest goal in the next 100 days.
Because the tax bill. Yeah,
With the uncertainty in the markets and all that, with the tariffs, it takes a little time for it to actually production to get up.
I mean, because folks, this too. This is a massive tax increase for everybody if this doesn't pass.
Massive. Huge.
Massive. I mean, just not for us, for businesses. Yeah, and they campaign. Yes. And no, Medicare and Medicaid are not being touched. Everyone just stop. I know,
with the nonsense.
Yeah, I know that, what's his name? Cory Booker and Timu Obama there were just chilling on the steps, singing Kumbaya and all this other weird which ended 6 hours early because everyone left.
Yeah.
So
they didn't get the media they wanted.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, Hakeem Jeffries being out there alone, but he had his buddy with him.
Yeah. So those are the big ones. I mean, the border is obviously the biggest.
Yeah.
For example, last month, 7,181 illegal immigrant encounters at the southern border.
Yeah.
7,000 illegal immigrant encounters. Compare that to the same month of Biden's first term in office or first year in office.
Yeah.
The same month he had 137,473 illegal alien encounters.
Yeah.
That's a 95% decrease from Joe Biden's term. The border is now closed.
And
at the height of the border crisis, which we'll obviously never see during Trump's administration, we were experienced over 320,000 illegal aliens per month crossing this border. I'll say that again. That's over 30,000 people per day pouring over our border. In the whole month of March, we had about 7,000 illegal immigrants.
It's basically
they're sent back.
It's basically that the population of Pittsburgh was showing up.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it was ridiculous. There was no way. And you know, ICE and Border Patrol, they were like Uber, as Tom Homan says. You know, they felt like Uber drivers taking importing these people, just processing them and then releasing them onto our streets.
Yeah, and the whole facade of like Democrats saying, "Oh, we need during Biden's term, we need to send more money to the border. We need to send more money to the border." Well, what would the money be used for? It would be used for importing more ICE agents to the border to process their paperwork, make them sandwiches, and get them through faster.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many testimony after testimony we see ICE agents saying, yeah, we're not allowed to do our jobs. When they bring us in, all we're doing is making them sandwiches and speeding up the process of allowing them in.
Not anymore. You're going back. Adios.
Doge has been obviously
Hasta forever.
A pretty big success so far. Obviously, there's going to be some hiccups and some jobs get cut that probably shouldn't be, but they'll be back. And has government continued without them for now? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're cutting Sesame Street in Saudi Arabia. What was that, $20 million? They're cutting the U.S. National Science Foundation canceled 402 wasteful diversity, equity, and inclusion grants, which will save $233 million, including $1 million for anti-racist teacher leadership for statewide transformation.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that is, we're not paying for that
anymore.
Gotta
go. Sorry.
Department of Defense could save $80 million on wasteful spending by cutting loose DEI programs. All this DEI crap, that's gone.
Gone. Oh, yeah, that's another big thing. Across the board, any federal agency, there's more of that.
And the biggest one, undoubtedly, is that Trump is bringing back water pressure in our showers.
Yes.
That was my favorite executive order, along with making English the official language of the United States. And at least we forget, the Gulf of Mexico is now the Gulf of America. Thank you, Donald Trump. So those are some big wins, obviously.
Huge wins.
And right now, the polling is still net positive for Republicans over Democrats. Yeah. No matter how much they're all going to outrage.
Of course, the direction of the country is still trending in our favor.
Yeah.
Remember, this is supposed to be the worst market month in April in like years, right? Generations. Mm-hmm. Not the case. It's been a massive recovery. Scott Bessent pointed that out. Mm-hmm. He's like, you people said it was going to be a collapse. Well, it's been a recovery. Where are the headlines for that?
Yeah, so it is. It's a little uncomfortable, but there's light at the end of the tunnel now. Yes. They all predicted recessions and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the GDP report that came back a little negative this past week. Actually, there's some hidden pretty good news.
Yeah. Among it, the Atlanta Fed completely revised their projection. They said minus 2.7. It's now plus 2.5.
Yeah. Well, so, E.J. Antoni, who is, in my opinion, the greatest economist that there is in this country, he gets every prediction correct. He writes a weekly column now for Town Hall. You'll see it come out tomorrow morning. He notes that the minus 0.3% GDP. There's actually some pretty good news in there. I'll read a little bit from his piece, give you a preview for tomorrow. If we learned anything from economic data under President Joe Biden, it's that headlines are often deceptive. For example, Biden's blowout government spending increased GDP figures but added nothing to the productive private sector. Remember, these were all government jobs or foreign-born workers getting these jobs. We're just importing them and making the government bigger. Now, with the help of Elon Musk and the Doge crew, he's managed not only to slow government purchases, but to decrease them for the first time in 3 years. The accomplishment showed up as 0.25 percentage points subtraction from GDP. He goes on, this is where it kind of gets to the juice of it all here. Let's see. About the interest rate and the federal debt. When Trump left office, interest in the debt cost about $600 billion a year. Biden managed to nearly double that, with interest payments exceeding annualized $1.1 trillion from the end of his term, exceeding all defense spending combined. Both Trump and Bessent deserve tremendous credit for arresting the exploding cost of servicing the national debt. But the best part of the GDP report was this. Investment, the impetus for long-run real economic growth, is skyrocketing. Investment in the U.S. is skyrocketing, up 21.9% as a seasonally adjusted annualized rate. And that's right. What you mentioned earlier, Wes. But investment is coming back, and this is long-term effects.
Yeah.
Under Biden, investment lagged badly below its pre-pandemic trend, even turning negative by the end of its term. Trump managed to reverse that in short order, partly by promising the world that he will transform America into the most business-friendly country on the planet.
Yes. I mean, so, it was. Before the pandemic, it was booming.
So a bit of short-term, like, not great on paper economic news, but dig deeper into the numbers and you'll see investment in America has skyrocketed. And what's that going to do for long-term gains? It's going to make us not relying on China. We're going to produce our pharmaceutical industry here. Cars will be produced here. Obviously, that's going to help jobs. It's going to help American workers. And make us completely independent from the rest of the world.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. What else?
MAGA. Oh, I forgot. Make America Healthy Again. Make RFK. America.
Yeah.
Maha. No more red dyes.
Yeah.
I think
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know what? It's something new. It's nothing crazy. I think that. Maybe I'll just leave it there. I know some people get a little touchy with Mr. Kennedy at the helm of HHS, but you know what? I mean, Bill Maher gave the guy cover. He was like, look, the environmental effects and poisons and stuff and people ingesting plastic and all that type of stuff, like that was the big thing when he was growing up, and RFK kind of said that, and for some reason he's being attacked. So
give him some room, see if it pays off. It's going to have some other effects that I think we still have to figure out as far as infrastructure. If you're getting rid of blue dyes, you're going to have a lot more blueberries. The farmer's got to produce a lot more blueberries. Yeah. You got to get red dyes, strawberries, whatever. So they kind of have to restructure the infrastructure of how we do things in America, and that's going to take some time too. But if death rates are the average age of death is decreasing, we should probably try something. Yeah. If autism rates are increasing exponentially from decades ago, why don't we figure out what's going on there?
Yeah.
Maybe try something a little bit different. So RFK, he's got a bit of a leash, and it sounds like he's impressing the president, at least at that cabinet meeting yesterday. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
2 hour long, fully televised. You think, as Trump would say, you think Biden would do that? You think Biden would do 2 hours on national television?
No way.
I don't think so.
It would have been Jill.
It
would have been Jill Biden leading the cabinet meetings.
Didn't she lead one?
She did. She was at the head of the table. It's like, what is going on here?
I don't think Melania, our wonderful first lady, would be leading the cabinet meetings. No, I don't think so.
No.
So
Marco Rubio was funny. He was like, you know, basically, I'm afraid to eat anything with RFK in my presence.
Yeah. Speaking of Marco Rubio, you know, he has a new job today.
He does.
He's going to be the interim national security advisor for Donald Trump, who just, the reports were quick to say he fired Mike Waltz, his previous national security advisor. Hold the phone a little bit, maybe not fired, maybe just repositioned. I'm not sure exactly what happened behind the scenes. I'd be curious. There's definitely going to be stories written about it.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, Mike Waltz was at the center of a few controversies recently, and Signalgate and all that kind of stuff. Seems like we survived that.
Yeah.
But maybe he lost a little bit of trust in him somewhere along the way. Give him a different position and bring somebody else in.
I mean, he did add one of the most vocal anti-Trump journalists onto that chat, which...
Which, by the way, Donald Trump...
which was part of an update. I get it. That's likely what happened, but, it is what it is. The damage is done.
Yeah, it's not good. Speaking of that lousy reporter, Jeffrey Goldberg, I don't know why Donald Trump decided to reward him with an interview in the Oval Office. I wasn't exactly thrilled to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, our president loves any media he can get.
Yeah.
And I think he has an unhealthy obsession in trying to win over negative pundits. I don't think it suits him well in the long term, but he wants to be liked by everybody, so he invites them. He keeps giving them second chances. We'll see when this story comes out from Time Magazine how it was actually handled. I have a feeling they're going to take some things out of context. Donald Trump is probably not going to like what was written about him, but he's willing to give him a shot. I can't say I love it, but I do love the fact that Donald Trump will basically sit down and do anything controversial. He'll adversarial interviews.
He does have to do that. You know, just
just has to, you know, push back, I guess. I don't know, but I mean, they were at it again, you know, with the media overall. You know, he went to the Pope's funeral.
Yeah.
You know, and he wore the blue suit.
Yeah, another hoax.
Blue suit. Everybody's wearing. First of all, Prince Harry was wearing a Prince Harry, right? No, yeah. Not Harry. It was the William, yeah. Prince William.
Prince William? Yeah, aren't they both princes? I don't really care.
Well, I don't really care either.
It's one story I've never cared about.
He was wearing a blue suit. In fact, there was a whole sea of blue suits there. So,
well, what the media does is
they photoshopped it. They cropped it out.
The instructions were to wear a dark suit, and last I checked, is that navy blue is actually dark. And they post one picture of Trump wearing his blue suit, probably lightened it up on their computer to make it look more vibrant.
But they had made it look more orange.
It's taken, it's taken out of context. You zoom out a little bit, you see a wider picture. Everyone's wearing a similar shade blue. But it's what the media does. It's what
they lie. They lie.
So anyway, Vespa, it's been fun.
Sure, it has.
We'll do this again next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 556 of Triggered. If you enjoyed Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership in this exclusive Club of Patriots. You will not only be directing funding here to us at Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, which is also ad-free, but you'll get other VIP members-only content like Matt's VIP columns, Kurt Schlichter's VIP columns, Kate Pavlich's. The list goes on and on and on. Please help us fight these people destroying our country. Thank you to all of you who have became VIP members. It means the world to us. And to those who aren't, we love you too anyway. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way in helping us beat the big tech algorithm. We'll see you next week.
See you then.